rebels in the world, stand up. If you're a rebel on the grind, you don't care with your mind, hands up. They can't stop us or hold us back. We that new revolution, I told them that. If you're with it, we ignite the path. All the rebels in the world, stand up. Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to Culture Rebel, the podcast. We're on episode 2. This is a podcast that calls people out of status quo. That's just the way it is. We talk about the raw stuff or we talk about nothing because it takes real life experiences of people to bring people out of the mundane and into life. And today I am so excited because I have my friend Abe Brown here. And Abe is just a remarkable individual. Not only is he a friend, but he's actually also my boss. So I'm going to behave myself on this podcast. He is the coach's coach. If you have heard his name, you probably know him as a coach. He's an entrepreneur. He's a professional speaker. He's an international best-selling author and high-performance leadership coach. He's also the president of the Certified Coaches Federation, which is one of the top life and executive coaches organizations in the world. He does a lot of things, and he has started or led several businesses and nonprofits into the tens of millions of dollars. Who does not want to listen to this man now?
Well, my wife. Wife. Can you blame her?
She'll tell you. She will tell you.
Yeah.
He has trained, certified thousands of life coaches and executive coaches in North America and around the world. He is focused on coaching leaders, executives, entrepreneurs towards high performance, resilience, and over-the-top results in both life and business. And he's also focused on workplace mental health, changing the world by changing the workplace. He's a professional speaker for over 2 decades and has spoken professionally in 4 continents and over 20 countries and around the world, and has spoken to audiences of 2 people, which may be the amount of the podcast. Just joking, to tens of thousands, which is actually more like it for everyone listening. So I'm super excited to have you, Abe, because we're going to dive deep into that amazing bio that you have. A lot of people might have listened to that thinking, how do you even become that? And I would love for you to take us a bit on a journey of how do you become such a high influencer leader?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. Thanks, Connie, for having me, especially episode number 2. I feel really fortunate to be with you, and definitely I'm one of your biggest fans. So thanks for having this heart and wanting to disrupt, but not in such a way as to be disruptive, but to do good in the world. So thanks for that. I think for me, if I was lucky with anything, because there's many areas of my life where I wouldn't consider myself lucky, probably like most people listening, right? You're like, I wish I had a little more luck, right? I'd buy more lottery tickets. But I think at a really early age, 16, 17, I knew that I wasn't good at a whole bunch of things. Like I was really aware that I wasn't that talented. But if there was one or two things that I could be good at, I knew what those things were. And so most of my career, I've been fortunate that I was able to focus on those things. And even when I was in jobs that didn't appear like they were about those things, I was somehow able to focus on those things while doing those jobs. And so, I'm not a believer that people are like sort of born good at things. I think being good or an expert is about hard work. And so if you just do something enough times, and you're open to feedback, I think you get better. So that's been probably most of my progression right there.
Isn't that interesting? A lot of people would think, oh, don't I need to be talented? They look at people on Instagram. They think, oh, they have it so good. And
yeah.
But really, it's just honing in on what you're really good at. And you're really good at bringing out the best in people. You're really good at the A to Z. This is what you need to do. You need to do A, B, C. And you've coached millions of people and helped their lives and improved them. And so I think that is so encouraging for people to hear, because then they are like, well, I can do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I'm not a behavioral psychologist, but I've done a lot of reading and of people who are. And interestingly, the real experts on how do you develop expertise, they actually even question the existence of talent. They say that at a genetic level, there's no proof that somebody has, I don't know, like a musical gene or an artistic gene, or I'm good at being a mechanic. What they do say is that there is some evidence, and it's only a little bit, for the existence of inclination. So, you know, some people, you know, I have three kids, and it's really clear if you have children that some of your children might be inclined towards music, and the other one has nothing to do with it and is a lot more interested in video games. And it's not that one is right or wrong, it's just they're inclined differently. But unless you take that inclination and put work behind it, it's only ever going to be an inclination. So I could be musically inclined, but if I don't put the work in, I'll never become a concert level musician. And I think, you know, people hear that. And for me, it gives me hope because to be honest, I don't really feel good at anything. And yet I have the hope that if I work hard and again, open to feedback, open to coaches and mentors who can help me get better, that I will get better. And I think that's so much more hopeful than, oh, you know, it sucks to be me. I don't have the talent that Connie has, or I don't have the talent that whoever has, right? Because that's really depressing, right? It's very limiting. And I'm not about wanting people to feel limited. If anything, I want people to feel unlimited. I think that's a lot safer than people feeling limited.
Yes. And that, what a great way to rebel.
Yeah.
You know, rebel and just forget about being the best, forget about being the most talented, and hone in and show up. And to get a coach, for example,
yeah,
is not a sign of weakness. It doesn't mean that you're weak or that you don't have what it takes. Actually, high performance people, people who are making a difference in our world, are always trying to improve, yeah, hone in on what they're good at, and get help.
Totally. And I mean, I don't know, like, it's funny because I don't know any high performers who don't have a coach. You know, it's interesting because, you know, you think about somebody, say, like Oprah Winfrey, who is, you know, kind of one of my heroes. Because I think when I think about a woman who has experienced tough times and also, you know, she failed, for example, she got fired from a job as a television reporter, right? Because she wasn't fit for TV, right? And you're like, now we all know Oprah Winfrey and her astonishing success. But how she's an authentic and a heart-centered person who's also trying to do good. And, you know, her, she's very open that her coach has been a huge part. So I think, you know, when you think about things like vulnerability and being transparent and being open to feedback, I don't think that's weakness. As a matter of fact, I think that's strength. I think if you're not open to feedback, that's weakness because, you know, what are you hiding? You know, if you're open, at least you're saying to the world, hey, help me get better.
Yeah. And, you know, inside of every single person, and I don't think there's one person exempt, there is this call to be a culture creator and to make a difference. And it doesn't matter the scope of that. I think we need to lay down our ideas of what scope, and I don't need to speak in front of millions to make a difference. I can make a difference in my family. I can make a difference in my community. I love what you talk about when it comes to creating culture. You talk about your inward life plus your outward life equals that culture creation. I'd love for you to talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, you know, in my own life, I went through a period where, especially early in my career, I was really focused on the outward. You know, how did I look? And I don't, if you see me, you know, I'm no Instagram model, that's for sure. But I don't so much mean how do I look in terms of, you know, sort of like Hollywood, but did I look like I was successful? Was I doing the right things? Was I getting applause from the right people? And I was really intent on that. I think the tragedy is that I neglected to pay attention to my inner world. And, you know, the inner world is actually, in some ways, you could say it's more important because, you know, what's on the inside will eventually come out. It's sort of like the principles of nature. You know, if a seed is planted in the ground, what's inside that seed's going to come out. It's just a matter of time. And in my case, what came out wasn't that great. And I experienced a personal crash. And part of my, I guess you could say, recovery was, you know, wow, like I was really imbalanced. I don't think I set out to do bad, but I just think that when you neglect the inside of your life, you will ultimately kind of reap that fruit. And so now, you know, when I'm working with people, leaders and people in organizations, let's not just focus on the outer, because the outer is easy. You know, you can teach someone how to public speak. You can teach someone performance management. You can teach them, you know, business strategy. I mean, those are all how-tos. As long as somebody's got a openness to learn, You can teach that, but the inner stuff, the stuff that you're doing and feeling and thinking when no one's around, I think that's more important. And it actually creates sustainable influence, right? Mm-hmm. Why just be a flash in the pan? Why not be holistic? Why not be sustainable? Why not be long-term? By paying attention both to your inner and your outer world.
Oh, and I think that that is so needed right now in our world. I heard a saying, it said, the temptation of today is to look good without being good.
Yeah.
And taking a bit of that cheap road and thinking, oh, I need to get 30K followers on Instagram. And if I have to buy them, I will. And, or I need to make sure I appear, you know, really, really rich. And like, I'm traveling the world. Meanwhile, my line of credit is
<That's right. laughs>
through the roof.
Maxed.
We don't say those things out loud. And so it's such a cultural thing right now to look a certain way. And underneath, you know, people are only a couple paychecks to homelessness sometimes, and or their family's falling apart. I had that this weekend. We had a crisis with one of our boys. And meanwhile, I'm going to do a parent seminar.
Yeah.
And I said to the people in the seminar, I don't know if you want to listen to me because I'm in the heat of it. And I was so blessed.
Yeah.
When they came back and said, actually, that made that experience with you so much more real.
I can only
because
imagine.
You were being vulnerable. That vulnerability is so important, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And I mean, you model that every day. And I think what that means is no one's looking for us to be perfect, right? Mm-hmm. I think the part of the reason for that is because they know they're not perfect. So you're going to teach a parenting seminar. And I don't think anyone says, hey, Connie, be perfect, but teach us what you know. And also be honest about how tough it is, because, you know, I can't think of anything besides marriage that's more complicated than parenting. And to be honest, I think parenting's a little more complicated because, you know, every one of your children is so different. You know, you have one child and you think, okay, I've got this. And then number two comes along, right? And then you, okay, I got this. And then number three, and I know some folks with many more. So it's a tough one. I read an interesting stat the other day when I was preparing for a talk that I gave. And it scared, you know, the crap out of me, to be honest. Sometimes statistics do that. And it's that the average high school student in America has the same level of mental health, stress levels as an average psychiatric patient in a mental health hospital in the 1950s. And this was according to an analysis of the data. And when you hear that, right, and, you know, I've got an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, and I got a 5-year-old. And, you know, it scares the crap out of me because I think, you know, social media, you know, and the internet for all of its goods. And hey, I wouldn't ever advocate, let's get rid of it. And I also don't know how to control it. I don't think that, you know, some heavy-handed government response is going to fix it because, you know, it's not about that. It's about, well, how are we teaching our children, right? How are we teaching ourselves to value each other? And to value other people around us and not to be caught up with these false standards of worth and value, because they're completely inaccurate and they mean nothing. And yet we attach such value to them, right? So, you know, what you're doing with your boys and what I'm trying to do with my kids and the rest of us, I mean, it's good work because we, you know, the mental health of our kids, what's more important than that?
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons why our kids may be suffering is because of a world we've created that looks shiny and on the outside, but on the inside, when it doesn't match, our kids notice that, and it makes them not to say your home and my home are, you know, something that they're not, but at culture in general.
Oh yeah,
I heard that we're number 25 in the world in Canada for child safety, and I thought, you know, that means that there's a lot of brokenness behind closed doors that people. They don't know maybe how to talk about or don't want to talk about. Our workplaces are very stressful. Culture's kind of imploding inwards with how we treat one another. We've really let each other down in how we do human relationships. And I'm thrilled because you and I are doing our part to work on that in workplace culture and toxicity and trying to make a difference there.
Yeah.
And we're discovering how important that is.
Yeah, I just love how, you know, we're talking about that because when you think about the sort of the continuum of mental health, right? You have on the one side, if you look at it like a spectrum, you have, you know, just me, myself, and I'm responsible for my mental health, right? And I think that most people wouldn't argue with that. Obviously, we all come, you know, into the world with a different level of kind of mental health biologically, but there's still some level of responsibility on the individual. On the far spectrum, on the other side, you have the government and, you know, the healthcare system, and what is their responsibility to help all of us, you know, be healthy. And there's actually a business case for that because, you know, if we can be proactive and preventative, well, we're going to spend a lot less money on costly interventions like, you know, mental health drugs and, you know, treatment centers and these kinds of things. And all of that is good and all of it is needed and, hey, let's do more of it. But, you know, kind of in the middle, you look at the workplace and schools for children. But, you know, for adults, you think about the workplace and the fact that we spend, you know, about 50% of our time, our waking hours at our job. And so, you know, the quality of the environment, the culture, right, the safety of that culture or not has a massive impact on our mental health. And so, you know, I could be working really hard at my own mental health in my own life and then come into a toxic work culture or in a place where I'm judged or, you know, gossip or, you know, lack of inclusion or whatever. And it is absolutely destroying people today. You know, I mean, every single day, it seems I get another email or message or have an interaction with somebody who's just come out of something that has devastated them. And it's heartbreaking because it doesn't have to be that way. Mm. You know, we don't get to choose our family, right? But our workplace, if we're making a choice to be there, and because we have to, because we got to pay our bills, well, then at least the workplace shouldn't be, you know, taking people away from mental health. It should be contributing to it. So our company, where you and I get to work together, Wellness Innovate, that's a huge part of our focus is helping workplaces build healthy culture.
Yeah, because it doesn't have to be the way it is.
Yeah.
It's honestly time. We're leading the rebellion.
That's right.
to say, you know, why are we putting up with it?
Great.
Why are we? We're not gonna take
That's
it.
Good.
You
sing,
know.
Sing, sing.
Where's my Twisted Sister fans
right.
at?
That's right.
You know, we often just put up with these things, and you're right. It's the environment. You know, you can do all the inner work that you want, and you do. If you go to a toxic workplace or any environment that isn't good for your heart, it's only a matter of time before you succumb underneath the waves. And if companies think that having a yoga class at lunch alone is going to do it, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, it's a step in the right direction. We should celebrate those things.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we're calling people to something greater. It's creating an environment, creating a culture, and then add the wellness initiatives that will make a difference. And we will see change.
I love it. And you know, and the same can be said for, hey, let's just throw a respect in the workplace workshop together and slam people through that, hoping that somehow that solves it. Because really, you know, you're not just looking for a one-off. You don't just want a yoga class or, you know, let's do a workshop on inclusivity. Those are all good, but what's our framework, right? And how do we work with management and leadership in a company to actually create a culture? And you know what? I have a lot of empathy for these leaders. And I think partially because I can promise you, you know, in the typical business education, they're not getting that, right? They're talking about supply chain management and, you know, exotic financial strategies and how is it we can get more customers and generate more leads. And they're not, of course, taught on how to manage our most important asset, which is people, human capital. And so, you know, I'm really, you know, grateful to work with you because that is a fine art, right? How do I, as a leader, use my platform, not to take, but to give, right? Not to, you know, have a whole bunch of minions, but to serve and to create an environment that's really healthy. You know, wouldn't it be cool to go to a workplace that heals you rather than a workplace that diminishes you?
When you said that, I actually had to take a breath. Imagine you went to a workplace that heals you.
Yeah.
imagine a leader was there to serve. These are rebellious things right. to think about.
Counterculture, right?
They really are counterculture, but you're right. They're entirely possible, and they're up for grabs for anyone listening. If you're a leader of an organization, if you're the leader of your home,
yeah,
this applies there too. If you're 13 and you think you're the leader of your home,
that's right.
Serve, you know, like.
And you might be.
Right. You just might be. Oh, these are so, so good. And it really brings us back to that heart-centered leadership that you talked about, the inner life, which, you know, again, can also apply to an entrepreneur or somebody out there just wanting to create change.
Yeah.
What would be something you would love to leave with? Just a person who's like, I really want to make a difference in my world, whatever that looks like. What would be one of the keys that you would give them?
Well, I think, the desire to want to make a difference is good. I mean, we want to celebrate it. But, you know, the question is always, what's your framework for moving from, you know, intention and desire to action and execution? And oftentimes, you know, again, it's no weakness in saying, hey, I could use a coach. I could use some support. I could use some help. And, we've got great resources at Wellness Innovate. I know, there are many great resources out there. So don't try to do it alone. Mm. You know, making a difference, culture change, it's not a solo project. I don't think it was ever designed to be a one-man or one-woman show. I think it's about, you know, who are my partners? Who are my collaborators? How can we make this happen together? And, perhaps get a coach, get someone who can help you along the way, because your impact will be multiplied exponentially when you're not trying to do this on your own.
Yeah. And I can vouch for that, because for so long I have been a lone ranger, going rogue out in the wilderness on my own. And a lot of times people who are trying to create culture, they're mavericks.
Yeah,
they're out there. They're out there on the fringe, and they feel misunderstood. And I mean, I can relate to that. But when I took your training, and when I decided to come alongside and serve with you, I have to say, I'm so much more fulfilled than out there slugging it on my own.
Yeah.
And it's so much more rewarding to do things together.
I agree with that. You know, it's funny because, you know, even this whole sort of gig economy today and, people who, you know, love the fact that they can work from home, which, you know, anyone who's in that position gets that. But it's been amazing how many people are now saying, I don't just want to work from home alone. You know, I want to come to shared spaces. I want to make sure I'm in a position to collaborate. And so, you know, I think, you're absolutely right. It's a beautiful thing to work with people towards a shared objective. So find those people, find that tribe, plug in, add value, but also receive it, and you'll get where you want to be.
Yeah. Oh, Abe, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And you can reach us at wellnessinnovate.com and follow Abe on Instagram at Coach Abe, and be inspired by what he writes. Follow him on Facebook, Abe Brown. He always is putting out amazing content, tips, and adding value to people's lives for free. You don't pay for that.
Absolutely.
But it's something that's absolutely amazing that you do all the time, every day. I see the value you're giving people.
Well, thank you. And you too, Connie. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much. And thank you for listening, everyone. Want to challenge you to put into action what you've learned today from Coach Abe, the coach of coaches, to find people to go alongside with, to focus on the inner life so that the outward, what we see, is real and sustainable and has capacity. And just remember, you are not just a mom. You are not just a teacher. You are not just a dad. You are not just fill in the blank. You are a culture creator. It's time to get rebellious. I'll see you next time. All the rebels in the world, stand up. You're a rebel on the grind, you don't care with your mind, hands up. They can't stop us, I hold us back.